We have just a couple weeks left to keep imagining if Jesus is Lord after Easter, what does that mean not only for my life and my family and my school and my church, what does it mean for my community? I want to reflect on that with you for just a few minutes. Time is moving quickly this morning, and I want to reflect through the lens of the Lord's Prayer, the prayer we pray every week right here. At the earlier service at 9:30 this morning, we reflected on the first phrase, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." If you want to listen to that, go online and listen. I'm not talking about that right now, but I will say, "Our Father in heaven," that betrays the problem. We are here and God is not. There is separation, and when there is separation, these are the instructions Jesus gave us. So I am interested in the next phrase, "Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is the phrase I'm interested in today. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Hey, these are not whimsical wishes or petty little pleas. These are imperatives. We should know that. These are humans talking with loud voices, commanding God to be God. God, your kingdom come. God, make it on earth today. These are commands from humans to the divine. That's what's in the Lord's Prayer. As it goes in heaven right now, God, we command for it to happen now. This is the prayer we pray every week. And I'm asking specifically today and the next couple of weeks, what does that prayer mean in our neighborhood? We command, we ask that the kingdom from heaven be in the neighborhood this week, God. We can't wait another day. That's the petition in the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The disciples have not, they won't have the privilege of hearing all the kingdom teachings Jesus will do. He teaches them the prayer first in Matthew's gospel. But he also lets them know early on, Matthew chapter 4, can I read you this text? Jesus talks about the kingdom from the very beginning. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among them. Jesus is going to go on now and talk about the kingdom, teach them about the kingdom 33 separate times. He will be exhaustive on this topic. Oh, while he's already said God is like a heavenly parent, he's also set up this kingdom conversation. They can understand it because Herod has a kingdom and Caesar has a kingdom and Rome has a kingdom, and we can understand that. We don't say the United Kingdom of America, but we get it, right? You watched a little United Kingdom this morning, didn't you? We need confession for royal wedding watchers in church. It was a worship service, after all. We know when we say the United Kingdom, we're talking about a power. There can only be one power source, Jesus says. So it is the kingdom of God we're focusing on. In the Bible, the kingdom is near. The kingdom is expanding. The kingdom is for children. The kingdom is for prostitutes and tax collectors. The kingdom is never far. The kingdom belongs to everyone. And the kingdom will be difficult for the wealthy and the well-fed. Look out before we go to lunch. Jesus says that. The kingdom will be difficult for the well-fed. The kingdom is like yeast inside of a dough. In the Bible, there is no confusion about what the kingdom is, and I want to be very clear about that today because this will go on now for the next 3 weeks so that we understand there's no confusion in the Bible about what the kingdom is. The kingdom is always the summary of God's will, God's passions, God's dreams, God's vision for humans to be whole and well. In the Bible, the only confusion about the kingdom is when will it arrive and how will it arrive and who will participate and who will block it or stand in the way. Because we have power to do that, to block it or to stand in the way. Thy kingdom come, your will be done. Whatever we imagine heaven to be like, friends, and if you were taught when you were little that this is a prayer for one day way beyond the blue, that is absolutely not what Jesus is talking about. Your kingdom come right now. We can't wait any longer. Whatever we imagine heaven to be like, that's what this prayer is about. So when Jesus teaches the disciples to pray, your kingdom come, he's teaching them to pray, God, succeed in your salvation plan. Be successful, God. We'll tell the truth today. From where we sit, it doesn't always look like God is being successful. Am I telling the truth? Boy, things happened in our church family this week. Things happening in our community, in our world this week. From where we sit, it doesn't always look like God is being successful. And your kingdom come in our neighborhood, that everyone would be well and whole in the neighborhood. We have a guest today. Tanika, I invite you to come. Can you come and join me right here? This is a new friend that I have just made, and if you will believe this or not, she's completely unknown to our congregation, but she's allowed today that we'll have a short conversation with her, because from where Tanika sits, the kingdom hasn't always looked like it's succeeding either. And would you please welcome her? Come right on up. This is Tanika Missouri. Come right on up and have a seat. And this is La Sierra. Tanika, so Tanika's story is going to tell us where in the world she's been living and where she lives right now, and we're going to get there in a minute. Tell us where you were born.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona, but then you became a California girl.
Yes.
So you moved around a little bit, I understand that, but can you get us to the part in life where you fell in love and got married and moved away? Where'd you go?
I went all over the world. I started off in Georgia, and then I went to Hawaii. Then we moved to Alabama, and in Alabama, I began a new assignment. I enrolled in divinity school for a master's in divinity. In my first semester, my marriage shattered. And I went through a marital separation and a divorce. In 2015, I was divorced. I moved to Alabama, and during the time of that divorce, we also had a house fire. And me and my children were in the house on a very cold day. They didn't go to school because it was so cold. And in Alabama, when it's severe cold weather, everything shuts down.
Mm-hmm. We don't know.
And so we moved to Alabama, and we finalized our divorce. And one day, on a very cold day, the children were at home, and we were doing chores, and all of a sudden, there was smoke coming out the wall. And I didn't see the smoke right away, but about 2 hours later, my son came back to me saying, "No, Mom, please come and check again." So I checked, and I saw smoke coming out of the wall. And that smoke, as I was looking at it, turned into sparks. And those sparks eroded into fire, and it went throughout the walls and the circuits. And that day, our family became homeless.
That house belonged to a grandma.
My grandmother gave me that home.
Okay. Now, there you are, a family of five without your husband now. Husband's in the military, was in the military, and there are four kids. Can you give us from oldest to youngest?
My oldest name is Anaya. She's 18 now. She's going to get ready to turn 19 soon. She goes to APU, Azusa Pacific University, where she studies ministry and theater. And I have twins. They're 17-year-olds, this April, they turned 17, and a 7-year-old girl, baby girl.
So we've got seven, there you are in the front row. Mm-hmm. 7 and 18-year-old in the front row. Yeah. And we have a university right here. Which I told you about the other day, but if it doesn't work out at Azusa Pacific, we'll stop. All right. So, something you told me this week, you know, now when you're without a home and many people begin to open their doors to you, you are a family of five looking for a place to sleep.
We're a family of five. And at first it was, well, how you said, I can't remember your words, how it seems like the kingdom is not always winning.
Yeah.
To me, it was the opposite. It seemed like we always win. We always win. No matter what we go through, God always comes through. He never once turned his back on us. And even when we suffered with him on the earth, we reign with him on the earth. Like he puts us before great men and great people, and they help us, and they love us, and they bless us. And my church family in Alabama, they put us in a house for 2 years. For 2 years, we did not have to pay rent because we couldn't. You know, I was going through school. I actually was about to finish my master's in psychology when I began my master's in divinity. And I had this great call to want to do anything for God. Like some of those that were baptized today, I was almost in tears. But I felt a great call for God when I started divinity school. But when I went to Alabama, a door opened for me to complete my master's in psychology.
So by the time you all came to California, I think you told me you've in 1 year you lived in 7 different locations when you got to California.
We did.
Between family and church members and any possible combination.
Yes, family, and church members, and friends.
So this is the part of the story that really gets my attention, because at one point you said to yourself, I'm not doing this anymore.
At one point I said, my children deserve better. And God is so good that I wanted to take a chance. Instead of suffering and causing other people hardship because there's 5 other people to feed and take care of, we decided to go into a shelter.
So you called Path of Life right here in Riverside. Now, the Path of Life we've talked about before, it is our only shelter in Riverside, although there are 2 or 3 facility options. You moved into the family facility, mm-hmm. which I think can hold 50 beds. 50 beds. This one said to me, I checked myself into the shelter.
I went in for recovery.
Did you hear that? Recovery. That going to the shelter felt like recovery to you. We're looking at a couple of pictures of the Path of Life. So you all lived, you lived on a bunk bed with your things underneath. Everything you owned is stored in a box and goes under your bed.
In the beginning, it was terrifying. to go there and see so many beds, and the people had not come yet. And then there were men who were the first ones to show up, and I'm like, my children, I have to keep them safe. Mm-hmm. And they prevented me from leaving. They said, just give us one night. And they totally sowed so much into us.
Mm-hmm. Tell me how the kids adjusted to moving into the shelter.
The first night, my son and I, we stayed up all night. It was hard. But as time progressed, my youngest daughter, she really loved it because they provided so much structure and fun for the kids. Activities, karate lessons. Yep, karate lessons. And music. UCR came and they provided music for them and sung with them, and mm-hmm. it was amazing the things that they provided for the children.
I heard this, Leah. I heard that you liked it at the shelter because there was dessert every night. Is that truth? Yeah?
Oh. Dessert every night, and a lot of little children for her to play with.
And a lot of little kids. The shelter has a limit for how long you can stay. This is temporary, and it's for emergency use only. There is a limit of 60 days.
60 days.
So what happened?
At my 60-day limit, the shelter had provided means for me to do other activities because I was motivated. So they put me in an employment pipeline program where I had assistance with my resume and took classes in psychology and peer support to help other people who are suffering with different, either anything, you know, medical, mental conditions, to be there for them and be there with them. And my time was up when I received my housing voucher. So they gave me an extension for another 30 days.
So they gave you an extension. You have a part-time job, but it's not enough to take care of 5 mouths. Mm-hmm. There's a bachelor's degree in psychology and almost a master's degree in the same area. You're certified to work in with adolescents and behavioral health issues. Mm-hmm. But there's not enough money to support a family. And tell us again how much child support you get for 4 children.
I was getting $188 for all 4.
For a month. $188 a month. So the shelter gave this family an extension, and you were allowed to stay 90 days, and now it's the lottery to try and find housing, and where do you go next?
I went to the county of San Bernardino, where they provided a hotel for 16 days, and that ended. But we got a call to get a house, we were actually called to rent an apartment for here in Paris,
County. Not that far. So that's Riverside County. You qualified for subsidized, it's an apartment for the five of you, and you are going to be moving when?
Within the next 10 days.
You're going to have a place you call home, and nobody else lives there but the five of you, and that's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
You told me, I want to ask you a couple more questions, we're almost done. You told me when I asked you, you know, what do you say when people make assessments about those, our friends without homes, those who need help in the city, in the county? What do you say when people are critical?
That homelessness is not a person, it's a situation. And we all go through situations. And some people, for it, it becomes a cycle, but some people, they triumph. You know, it's a process. So sometimes we just have to go through things.
Yeah, when I ask you who's in the Bible, who's your inspiration in the Bible, what are the Bible characters that have sort of grounded you? You named one in particular in the Old Testament, these guys in the fire.
The three Hebrew boys and how they were told that they could no longer worship God, and they trusted God through the fire, through everything they had to go through. They were willing to suffer through it in order to worship God. And even after they'd gone through all this stuff, and they didn't even see God in the fire, but everybody saw God through them, through their circumstance. And when they looked, they said, we don't see three, we see four. And Jesus was right there with them through all they had to go through, and they came out unburned.
That's kind of, those are the kind of stories that you've hung on to.
Yeah,
this week you said to me this line that I've not forgotten. When we are in the fire, we cannot see where God is. Because we're in the fire. Other people can see where God is, but we cannot. So in a few days, you all move into an apartment, and you have plans. There's plans for more work and more education. We want to add you to our family and be on your cheerleading team here. And mostly, I am grateful that you were willing to tell us your story this morning and be vulnerable. This is not easy to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Tanika, Missouri, that is just one of dozens and hundreds of families that are helped at the Path of Life. The kingdom come, the will be done in our neighborhood. God, make our neighborhoods look like heaven today. We need it today. We can't wait till tomorrow. This is the prayer we pray, church family, every time we close a worship service. I want to ask you to reflect on this the next 2 weeks. For the good news to be good news for all of us in the neighborhood, it might feel like bad news for a few of us. Some of us might have to release our grip on things that don't belong to us, our hoarding of things that are not maybe rightfully ours. For enough good news to make it to all of our families in the neighborhood, what adjustments need to happen? And how is this church part of the conversation? Humans, us, we have real power to block kingdom good. You hear this language now, not in my neighborhood. Not in my neighborhood. Have you heard this language? But there's some other language that resembles and sounds a little more like Jesus that goes like this: yes, in our neighborhood. We hope that we are one of those yes in our neighborhood churches. We're listening to Tanika today because I can't decide what will be the most persuasive way for me to take Jesus's instructions seriously. Look at the pictures of our neighborhood as I read off some of this information. Is this what's persuasive when we dive into the statistics and we understand that a third of our homes in our community are parented by a single parent like Tanika? Yeah, one in four of our children in our neighborhood within 5 miles of the church lives within poverty. Does it help us to know that almost half of the houses around here don't have the monthly income they need to buy food, transportation, childcare, and housing? Does it help us to know that within the 5 mile block of our church right now, amazing information we'll put on the walls next week, our number one growing concern is gang and gang violence, church. Incarceration and opioids. When we look around our neighborhood, does it help us to give ourselves these facts that the city of Riverside is so far behind on affordable housing? 4,700 units behind, which is why it takes Tanika so long to find a place to live. Or that we have a permanent 400, 450 people who will walk our streets tonight and not have a shelter or a space. I don't know if that's what's persuasive to dive into that, or is it persuasive to listen again to the words of our Jesus? Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. I have two great commands: love God, love one another. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. Blessed are the poor and the hungry and those who mourn and those who people hate. Does it help us to remember the words of our Jesus again? Next week, Pastor Diva will take up one of these passages. It's overwhelming in the Bible what the kingdom is about. The only question is, which of us will cooperate with its arrival? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In this neighborhood, amen.